You've been with us the past few weeks. We've been diving into this series titled Your Next Step. And see, all of us are meant to be in a relationship with Jesus. That's step one, is we come to know Him. We come to find Him and we begin to follow Him with all that we have. But first it starts with us accepting Jesus as the Lord and Savior of our life. But then after that happens, our next steps can look a little different. And so if you've been in this series with us, we've been kind of walking through what your next step may be, but we wanted you to know that it's not a checklist you have to go through. You don't have to do A to then get to B, to get to C, to get to D. We wanted to give you an opportunity to say, maybe that's the step I need to take in my walk with Jesus. And so we wanted you to know that today. And the beautiful thing is that we all have a personal relationship with the Lord. And we are unique individuals. And so your next step is going to look very different than my next step. And that's okay. But we wanted to give you an opportunity to say, that's what I need to do in my relationship with the Lord. You know, all of us are on a journey with Him. And this takes time and it takes effort and it takes work and it takes perseverance. The past few weeks we've been looking at a verse in Hebrews 12. And the writer of Hebrews 12 starts by saying this. It says, "And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us." We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. He's the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. God wants us to know Him, and He wants to know us. You know, the more we get to spend time with the Lord, the more that He gets to know us. And one of the ways we do that, we just talked about this last week, is by spending time in prayer with Him. And when we do that, we communicate with Him daily, whether that's in an intentional time that we set apart with the Lord, or it happens organically as we're going throughout our day, we begin to know the Lord more and more and more, and He starts to know us too. And as we get to know Him, one of the things we discover is that He wants more for us, sometimes more than we even want for ourselves. And that's the very fact that why God sent us Jesus, is because there is more for us. And the fact is that God sent us Jesus so that we can live in freedom. We can be free from the things that distract us and move us away in our relationship with the Lord. That would be addictions, that would be hurts we've experienced, whether with a spouse or sibling or family members. There's habits that we walk through that just are not healthy, and it moves us away from God, and there's sin in our life. See, Jesus came to this earth so that we could live in freedom because He died for our sins. There's a simple truth that we all need to know today. And the truth is that Christ set us free to live free. The verse in Hebrews 12 that I read earlier, it actually starts before that by saying this. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a crowd of witnesses to the life of the faith," this is what it says. Now watch this. It says, "Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and run with endurance, keeping your eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates our faith." Jesus set us free so that we can live free. That's free from the sin that easily trips us up in our relationship with Him. In Scripture, Jesus makes a few statements where He says, "I am blank." You know, one of those statements He says is, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life." Later on, Jesus says that those who know the truth will know that the truth will set them free. And so if we know Jesus, who is truth, then we are free. However, many of us don't live like we're free. You know, how do you free somebody who is already a free person? How do you free a free man? This question and this dilemma was something the early church actually faced. Specifically, there was a church in Galatia, and the Apostle Paul wrote them a letter. And in this letter, Paul walks them through how they could come to know Jesus, but yet be stuck and unable to live in freedom. If you have your Bibles today, I invite you to turn to Galatians 5. That's where we're going to spend our time this morning. If you have a Bible app you like to use, you can go ahead and turn there as well. And if you don't, that's okay. Some of these key verses are going to be on the screen this morning for us. And so this is how Galatians 5 starts. In verse 1, it says, "So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free. And don't get tied up again to the slavery of the law." Now, I want to pause here and take us back to why Paul is writing this letter. And in this letter, he's addressing two types of believers. There's the Jewish believers and the Gentile converts who came to know Jesus later on. And so he's talking to these two people. And to start the letter, he establishes who he is, Paul. He gives himself a little credibility to say, "I was called by God on the road to Damascus and had an encounter. And then I went to the apostles and they accepted me as one of them." And then he explains what Jesus did, the way Jesus lived his life, and how he was sinless and blameless, and he went to the cross and died for our sins and was resurrected again. And then he continues on to talk about what the gospel does for us. The good news of Jesus is that the gospel does something for us that you and I can't do for ourselves. And what it does is it frees us from our sin. It frees us from the punishment of sin. And so we no longer have to pay the price for what we've done. And then chapters 5 and 6, Paul walks the church on what it means to be free. What it means to live a life that's transformed. And so again, I want to go back to the question. How could they be free, but then not live in freedom? How does that work? See, this actual idea of being free, but not living in freedom, this issue goes all the way back to the very beginning of human history. And when we go all the way back to the beginning, we find Adam and Eve. And if we know the story, Adam and Eve are in this garden, the Garden of Eden, and life is perfect. They have their choice of what they want to do. They can do anything they want, except for one thing. And that one thing is you can't eat from the tree. See, Adam and Eve were free to do whatever they wanted. They just had one simple rule. However, Adam and Eve fell under the trap that I think many of us, even still to this day, still fall under. They began to believe that something isn't true. The snake in the garden actually comes to Eve. If we know the story, the snake in the garden begins to whisper lies in her ear. She starts to believe in these lies. She believes in something that isn't true. And because of that whisper, because of those little lies and that belief, Eve falls into sin. When we go back to Exodus, God freed the people of Israel. And there was this moment where we see all these signs and we see all these wonders and we see the very hand of God at work. He's doing miraculous things. Then something happens. God leads them to Mount Sinai and they get the law. And he gives them this law because he says, this is what you need to do in order to live in a right relationship with me. Follow these things and you will be good. You will be okay. But the people of Israel had been entrapped and in slavery so long, they didn't understand what it meant to live a life that's free. We see something happen to the people of Israel in Exodus. They failed to trust in the law that God gave them. And they started to believe these lies that said, we can do this on our own. We can build our own gods and we can pray all these prayers and we can do it ourselves. And so what happens is they don't end up getting into the promised land until later because they started to believe in the lies and they wander around the desert for quite some time. See, they were free people, but they weren't able to live in the freedom that God had for them. So that leads us to the question, what do we need to be freed from? What do we need to be freed from? What's that one thing? We need to be freed from all that's not true. See, sin itself is based on a lie. Shame is the twisting of truth. Addictions are bound by lies that we need these to keep us safe and sane and who we are. Hurt uses lies to torment us. And doubt keeps us trapped in our guilt and the weight of our sin. And doubt keeps us in the fact that we start to doubt that we're forgiven and we can't let go of the fact that God would actually forgive us. That's what doubt does. It's a lie that we listen to. So if we actually need more freedom, if we need a way to not just be a free people, but to live in freedom, how do we do that? What does that actually look like in our life? How do we get rid of the lies that we hear so often? What do we need to be free? We need to boldly embrace all that is true. That's what you and I need to do. We need to embrace the fact that Jesus did come to this earth to die for our sins. And we need to live and let go of the very things that we hold so closely to. So here's what Paul says in Galatians 5, 2 through 4. He says, listen, I, Paul, tell you this. If you are counting on circumcision to make you right with God, then Christ has no benefit to you. I'll say it again, if you are trying to find favor with God by being circumcised, you must obey every regulation in the whole law of Moses. For if you are trying to make yourselves right with God by keeping the law, you have been cut off. From Christ. You've fallen away from God's grace. Later on in verses 7 through 8, it's not on your screen today, but he says, you were running the race so well. Who held you back from following the truth? It isn't God, for he is the one who called you to freedom. God is the one that calls us into freedom. He's the one that says, you are free. And he's the one that doesn't whisper the lies in our ear. And so we know that there is somebody who does. And what Paul is saying here is that we can't do this on our own. We need Jesus. It would be so easy for us to think that none of this applies to us. Because a lot of us believe that I fall under grace. But perhaps we aren't so full of grace as we think we are, or we hope we are. You know, the thing is, circumcision maybe isn't our thing. Today we have all kinds of different things that can trap us. And in short, what trapped the people of Galatia was that they continued to go back to relying on themselves and what they could do and who they were. and what status they held and what position they could grasp. You know, so often what entangles you and I in our own sin, in our own shame, in our addiction, and all the host of unhealthy behaviors we have, is that we have accepted grace in theory, but not in actual practice. See, we are still relying on ourselves. We still rely on our own willpower, our own knowledge, our own money sometimes, our education, our experience. And we think these are the things that are going to free us from the very situation I'm currently in. Or maybe we're on the other side of the scale. And we say, this is as far as I can possibly go with you, God, because this isn't really working out and I'm just going to give up. This is tougher than I thought it was going to be. In either case, we believe in Jesus, but we begin to live out the lie that says I can just do it all on my own. We forget to embrace all that is true. In Galatians 5:5-6, here's how it reads. It says, "But we who live by the Spirit, we eagerly wait to receive by faith the righteousness God has promised to us. For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or uncircumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love." Did you catch that? It's when we put our faith in Jesus. See, the people in Galatia thought it was all about being circumcised, and that's not the case today. There's so many other things that we can believe in. Actually, just this morning, Pastor Wes and I were talking about how sometimes people get trapped in the very idea that one translation is better than another translation of a Bible, and there's so many things that we get stuck in. But the truth is that our faith needs to be only in Jesus. He is the one who frees us. We need to count it all on Him. Truth is found in Jesus. Our life, our choices, all that we value, all of who we are, our faith needs to be in Him. Now, in Galatians 5:13, this is what it says. It says, "For you have been called to live in freedom." My brothers and sisters, it's that simple. You've been called to live in freedom, so live in freedom. It's not just something we are, but it's how we're meant to live. We're not meant to be bound by our sin. We're not meant to be bound by our shame. We're meant to live not based on what we've done or who we are. But our life is free because of what Jesus has already done and who He is. It's been such an honor for me to be able to watch Oliver grow. And actually, it was this really weird moment that right after we moved here, and Andrea and I discussed this, we said, as soon as we move, we know something's going to happen, and he's going to hit a milestone, and he did. Oliver began to crawl. Now that we have stairs that he can access, where he's going to start crawling, and Oliver did. So there was actually the moment. You know, I was upstairs with him in our house, and I happened to have him in our room because Andrea was busy doing something else, and we were playing together on the floor, and our dog happened to be nearby. And I was watching, and I saw Oliver do what he did every time. where he got down on all fours. He was sitting and he just all of a sudden leaned over, and I thought he was going to fall, but he catches himself. Scariest moment as a parent. And then he drops down and he's ready. And I was like, he's going to do it. Like, I knew it. I had the feeling, and he'd just been stuck in that position for a long time before. But I quickly texted Andrea and I said, hey, come upstairs quick. I didn't want to yell because I knew I would scare him and he wouldn't do it then. So Andrea came running up the stairs. She turns in the corner and we're in our room, and all of a sudden, you know, he takes this big arm swing and he moves his arm. For the first time ever, his leg followed behind. Then he did the other arm, and he was so proud of the fact that he's finally crawling. And so we were there, and as parents, we're celebrating with him this huge moment. Like, yeah, buddy, you did it. You're crawling. And then we had the moment of, oh, no, he's crawling. And it was funny because he just kept crawling after our dog and began to crawl after her and after her and just wanted the dog more than anything. And she was like, get away from me. But we were so excited. Man, he finally did it. He got this milestone. It finally clicked and connected with him. God has often used my son to remind me of little lessons in life. Now, as Oliver began to find this newfound freedom and movement, and Glenn, you can come on up here. You know, we sat and we celebrated and we were so happy for him. I often wondered if God does that too. You know, I don't think God sits up there and is like, yay, you did it. But I think God sits there when we finally live in the freedom we're meant to. When we finally say, you know what, I fully believe that Jesus died for my sin. And I'm meant to live in this new life that he has for me. I think God is there and he says, yes, you get it. Because that's why I sent him to this earth. Was not so that you would be bound by sin and shame, but was so that you can live and experience freedom. And there's these moments that, you know, Andrea and I could have been holding him back, and we put obstacles in the way, especially on our bed, because he likes to crawl on our bed, so we throw a pillow down, so we're like, no, don't go to the edge. I think sometimes we even do that to ourselves. We put our own obstacle in the way of our own faith because we don't want to live in the freedom, because sometimes that's scary. But the truth is, it's God's design for us to live in freedom. See, Christ set us free so that we can live free. We're not meant to keep putting things in the way of that. So we have choices that we're meant to make. Kids are meant to move and to crawl and to explore. You and I are the same. We're meant to move and to walk this earth and explore the very things, the plan and the purpose and the design that God has for our life. We're meant to be free from all of the shame we have, the doubts we believe, the sin that we hold on to. And we're meant to live with the joy of not having to carry that burden anymore. To live in a freedom that can only be found in Jesus. And there's moments where Oliver's crawling and he falls on his face and he cries and it's sad, and we pick him up and we hold him. And there's going to be moments in your relationship with Jesus where you might fall, where it's going to be tough. But know that he's there with you in those dark moments. And he picks us up and he holds us so tight. You know, the beautiful thing of being in a relationship with Jesus is it means we're not alone. There's been many times where I felt alone in my life. And I know Jesus is there now, and he holds me and he comforts me and he's with me. And when we have to let go of something, it may be very difficult. But it's going to be okay because there's freedom for you on the other side. This morning, I want you to rest in hope that there is freedom for you. And we are meant to live in freedom because Christ set us free to live free. It's not what you've done, but it's all because of what Jesus already did. So I want to leave you today with just a few questions. We're going to enter into a time of worship, and as we enter into that time, maybe you need to sit and reflect on these questions. Or maybe you want to write them down so later this week as you spend time with the Lord, you can really dive into them. So here's what I want us to wrestle with today. What is the very thing that you need to be freed from? And what is it that's holding you back in your relationship with Jesus? Would you join me in a word of prayer? Lord, this morning I'm thankful that our freedom isn't based on what we've done, but God, it's based solely on what Jesus already did for us in the work on the cross. God, this morning I pray that as we look at our next step, and maybe it's that we need to walk into the freedom from the sin and shame and guilt and doubt that we feel. God, I pray that we wouldn't leave this place without addressing that this morning. God, that we would know that all the sin, the chains, the slavery that we are held to is broken because of Jesus. God, that we don't have to be stuck, but we can live with hope and freedom found in Jesus. So Lord, as we enter into this time, I pray that you would speak. God, that you would use it as we reflect on our lives and the very thing we need to be freed from. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.